Hi, can you hear me? Is everybody okay? When he asked me to write something for him so that he can introduce me, I wasn't sure he was going to read everything. You know? So I just, you know, took one of my old stuff and sent it to him. He read everything. So anyway, I've been in Penang, so it's good to come back home in a way. For the past, actually 18 years we were here, my wife and I, Peggy, we were both working in the multinational factories, and we crossed over yesterday on the second link, second bridge. Never been on the second bridge, but it was the first time, and it was such an experience of nostalgia, you know. The first factory, we saw Motorola, and then we saw HP. What happened to HP, my old company, Agilent now, okay? And Intel, this is where she came from, you know. So it was such a wonderful experience. This morning, we woke up early. We walked the Gurney Drive, the beautiful beach. And, you know, many years ago, we used to smell rats and all this crows comes, all the rubbish. But today, it was a clean beach. What a transformation. You know, and if every state in Malaysia, every city in Malaysia, is going to model after this city, I think there is hope for Malaysia. Don't you think so? Yes? And if a city can be transformed, lives of people can be transformed too. Don't you think so? And God is doing, bringing the Pearl of Orient, the luster back to the Pearl of Orient. Wonderful Penang folks. Thank you all for inviting me. I want to thank Jeremy, Pastor Albert, for inviting me to come and speak here this morning to share with you this on the business integration as Christian influence. Since you guys were doing some commercials, so I thought I'll do a commercial. And this is Pastor Elder Tony Tay. We're going to have a conference because he ran 38 companies. And he talked about kingdom principle in the seven spheres. And he actually says God has led him to do this. And he started 38 companies. He's got companies in every sphere. You talk about media, he has. And even started a church. He was a pastor of a church. So he actually is going to speak to us in a conference. Those of you who are keen, I'll pass the thing to so that you can contact Jeremy. So that's very quickly one commercial. The next one is another one, introduction of my family, okay? We're having fun at the Universal Studios. So you can see, maybe a just quick introduction. That's my wife, 38 years, partner. Met her in college, and that's how we got married. And that's my eldest son, that's the wife, my eldest daughter-in-law. That's my second son. He lives in Melbourne. He's a medical doctor, and the wife. Both are married, and that's my daughter. So one of the things that I want to do with my family, I told my family that we want to spend time together at least once a year, get together, have a connection. You know, with seven different schedules of individuals, and we live in a busy world, so all of us are moving in different directions. At least once a year, we get back to connect. How many of you do that with your family? Great, wonderful, wonderful people. We need to get back to connecting with your family, at least spend time together. And one of the things I do with my family is that when we get back together and sit around, we have what we call a family time. You know, when the children were growing up, we have, one of the things I learned in the church was to have a family time once a week to get together and sit together and just chat. We read the Bible sometimes. Not always we read the Bible, but we share stories about our lives. What's happening in your school? What's happening with your friends? And that's how we connect. And today, we carry on that tradition. When we get together, we just tell stories about what's happening in our life, and we pray for one another. And I encourage you, it will build a family bond, okay? So that's a very quick introduction of myself, a family. And I want to share with you a lady by the name of Bonnie Woods-Backer. She mentioned this. It says, business is the only source of wealth creation in the world. Now, some of us don't agree. Hey, how can it be? But it's true. You look at Penang. If you don't have the business, how many of you work in the factories? None? Only one, two, three? Four, five. Come on, there are more than... Without a factory, Penang would not be here. The island would be here, but, you know, the activity... Yesterday, we walked into a mall. There's so many people, so busy. The city has flourished because of the activity that business has brought into this place. And business provides employment. It pays taxes. When the government receives the taxes, they build their roads. They build hospitals. They provide education. So you think about it, without business, things doesn't work. And God, over the years, have used business. But however, as believers, you know, I wasn't a business person. I was a professional. I grew up as an engineer in a company called Hewlett-Packard. And then I grew up and then I rose in rank and became manager. One day I was headhunted to run a factory, a GM, MD of a company. All of a sudden, I was put in position. But I realized that, hey, it is a position of responsibility, also a position of a lot of stress that comes upon your life. So one day, I receive a letter from my son. And the letter says a very simple thing. Dad, could you get something for me, for my school, the next morning? Not the next morning, maybe a few days down the road. He needed that for school. I got back that night at about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock from work. And I was so tired. And there was this letter. Now, if you're a dad, your son has to write you a letter. He was 7 years old. He wrote me a letter. What does that mean? How many of you receive letters staying in the same house, your son write you a letter? What does that make you? I sat there. There was mixed emotion. I was angry at first. Saying, why do you bother me with this? And don't you know I'm so busy? But there was a mixed emotion in me. And God just convicted me. I cried before the Lord. I said, I'm not going to be this kind of a father. I want to be a father that's there for my son, for my children. And I was determined to tell God, I want you to show me what you want me to do in my life. So God showed me. I eventually left the industry. I became a business consultant. I consult with CEOs, business owners. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I had not been in a position of an MD of a company running a corporation. So looking back, I begin to understand why God put me out through all that. But in the position that I'm in today, I struggle because of my Christian faith. I was wondering, why God, you want me to help these business people? You know, many of them are like this guy. And some cunning, crooked, calculative, corrupted, maybe compromising in all their ways. And some are even Christians. But so in our minds, and as a Christian, you know, as a professional, we can do our stuff very clinically. But when we come into business, the reality is that many of them wheel and deal. And I was asking God. So I couldn't find answers. I went up to my elders, leaders of the church, and talked. I said, what should I do? And the answer given to me was, as usual, Kawi, you've done very well with your career. Just carry on. Mark time. Serve God. After you finish that, come back to the church. I've been already serving God. I was a young people's leader. I was doing a deacon in a church. I was an elder of a small church. And then I was preaching. So what more do you want me to do? So I said, eventually serve God full time in the church. But God has given me certain gifts. I know there are certain things I do well. And when I do it, I enjoy. How many of you heard about Eric Little, the Chariots of God, the Chariots of Fire? Yeah, you've seen the movie. What did Eric Little say? God make me fast. When I run, I feel the pleasure of God. And it's the same thing. You know, when I'm with business people, when I talk to them, when I understand the issues that I face, I've been there. I know what it's like. And when I talk to them, and when there's certain things that I said, and it's just suddenly there was a light bulb. then there was a pleasure that God, God gave the wisdom to say the right thing. There was one incident when we were a group of CEOs. I bring them together about 15, 16 every month. We sit together. They're from different industries. One guy says, Kahui, I was wanting to enter this company for the last 5 years. I couldn't get in. How many of you are salespeople? Salespeople, yeah. Sometimes very difficult. Like you knock a door, the door just refuses to open. And this guy says, I've been doing that for 5 years. Eventually, I make an inroad. Oh, I got a deal from them. They give me a deal. But on condition, the buyer says, wants a kickback. So everybody in the group says, he asked the group, what should I do? You know, we have this kind of issues like that. The guy already know what he should do, but he just want to know from the rest what you guys would do. So some guys say, oh, go ahead and, you know, how much is it? 2,000 a month? Your business generate a few million a year. So give it to him. Forget about it, you know. Let it be done. So what would you do? Anyone? Suggestion? So God gave me a word of wisdom. I just said, well, it may sound good. Some of you, how many of you will do it? Many of them put up their hands. There's some Christians in the group says, no, I will not do it. What is it? So I asked the question to the group. What if the buyer is someone from your company? Would you endorse this? There was a silence in the room. All of a sudden, everybody says, if somebody in my company is doing such a thing, I wouldn't allow it, for sure. But it's okay if somebody else outside does it. Isn't it like that? And business people, hey, they are all good people. Some of them tell me, hey, I don't want to do it. Some of these things, I just do not want to do it. But I have no choice. And there are situations where they are held at ransom, okay? You want to know how we handle those things? Come and see me personally. Okay. I want to talk to you about the five C's. You know the C's that you saw earlier? There's an alternate five C's that you can talk about if you want to make an influence in the business arena. And the first one we talk about is calling. William Buckley says this, there are two great days in a person's life, the day we are born and the day we discover why. Why are we here? And isn't it true that we need to know why we are here? In Alice, the story about the adventure in Wonderland, you still remember that story? The cat asks Alice, is this, Ellie says, can you please show me where to go? Then the cat says, where do you want to go? Ellie says, I don't know. Then the cat says, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter which road you take. And many of us in life, we don't know where we are going. So it doesn't matter what we do with our life. So unless and until you know exactly what God has called you to do, then what you do doesn't matter. Okay? And you can live however you want. But I struggled with this, and I wanted to find out about calling. Because I was wondering whether God has called me to be a pastor, to be a preacher, to be this and that. So I begin to seek. And I study many different books and read about. How many of you have heard of this Os Guinness? You've read that book, legendary book, The Call. And he has, over the years, 30, 40 years, talk about the same subject. If you Google in there, you see him talking about the same subject after 30, 40 years. He says, we may at times be unemployed, but no one ever becomes uncalled. You know, you may lose your job, you may not have anything to do, but there is a calling. Do you know that God has called us? each one of us, we are believers. God has called us. He has first called us into His kingdom. Correct? Into Himself. Do you agree? And secondly, He has called us to do something. Now, if your mother or your father, the children have disappeared, I must commend you, the children really behaved just now. Wow, it must be really tough for children to sit quiet for such a long period of time. But you train your children well. Now, if your parents, someone called you on the phone, right? And say, hello. Surely, there must be something for you to do. Surely, He wants to know, what are you calling me for? So if God has called you, don't you want to know what has called you to do? What was the calling of God for in your life? We're supposed to show you the video, but we couldn't get it. So we just skipped that. So what is your calling? Let's read the verse from the Bible. Ephesians 4:1. Together, everybody read. Come on. As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Okay, that's the NIV. If you were to go to the King James Version, it uses the old English word that says vocation, which means calling. But today, vocation, people don't understand that. But it actually came from the word calling. And the Bible, Paul uses calling. Not just receive your calling, but walk worthy of that calling. We are to walk worthy of that calling. And what does that mean to be walking worthy of that calling? Now, many of us, many of us can get addicted to the work, and we say that we want to find meaning in our work. I think there's more than that. If you're just seeking meaning in your work, you can be sadly disappointed, I want to tell you. Because for a long time, I thought, I need to find meaning in my work. But if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, what did he say? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Everything under the sun is vanity. If you just seek meaning in your work under the sun without God, it is vanity. And that's what the scripture says. You read Ecclesiastes. Without God under the sun, it's vanity. So we need to find meaning and purpose in God, in the context of our job, in the context of what we do. Okay? That's why God says He called you first to Himself, then onto something. Let's read the second verse together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, we are God's workmanship. You know what's God's workmanship? We are God's masterpiece. You know, my brother is an artist. My eldest brother is an artist. I go to his house. He lived very humbly, very poorly. Sometimes I say, and I saw one painting, very beautiful on the wall. I say, hey, that's a very beautiful painting. Why don't you sell this? Yeah, he says, probably I could get 20,000 for that piece. Then I say, sell it, you know? He says, no, I cannot sell this piece. I say, why? Because it's my masterpiece. I can't reproduce this anymore. That's how artists think, you know. They just want that, but they don't mind the money. So, we are God's masterpiece. There's no duplicate. Each one of us are different. And He has made you different for a work. He says, for a good work, to do good works, which He has prepared in advance. In advance, way in advance. When you're in your mother's womb. You know, if you're good with guitaring, we have certain giftedness. God has given us certain giftedness. Discover how that giftedness, God can use it for His kingdom. Now, you may be good in music, or you may be good in other things, whatever. don't just trade it off and say that somebody else is better because you can serve God better in that and you want to serve God. No. You serve God where you are. Do what you are. Be what you are because God has made you who you are. And the word in the King James Version for prepared in advance is ordained. Ordained in place. I'm not an ordained preacher. How many of you have been ordained before? Ordained is a big word, right? Ordained is it's something commanded of God. So he has commanded each one of us to do certain things. If your parents ask you to do something, throw out a cash, trash or do something, you may get away once or twice, you know. But after a while, I think your parents get pretty upset, right? But if God commands you to do something, God is not even suggesting, you know. God is not pleading with you. God is not saying, this is a good thing, you go do it. No, He's commanded you to do. He has prepared and ordained it for you. So the question I have for some of us is, are we being called? Or have we been driven? The reason I ask this question, I work with a lot of business people. They are all running all over the place, trying to make the most money, trying to make their business flourish. And sometimes Christians are also caught in it. So my question is, are you being called? Are you being driven? So you can test yourself by asking, look at the difference between a called person and a driven person. A called person recognizes God. He has faith. He has gratitude because God has saved him. Call him out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has passion about what he does because he knows that God has gifted him to do certain things. Whereas a driven person is driven out of fear. Fear of failure. He doesn't want to fail. Because he may have come from a very poor family. And a lot of the business people that I work with came from a very poor family. And the fear of failure, the fear of saying, I don't want to be in poverty again. In fact, some of them even make a vow to themselves and say, I vow that I will never be poor like my parents. And that was the thing that drove them to success today. Now, some of us Christians may make vows like that. We need to have that released. Otherwise, it's a bondage in your life. We need to come to do things not out of fear, but out of faith. They're driven by greed. They're driven by pride. I can say a lot more about this, but ask yourself, what are you driven by? Or are you being called by? The second C is character. Okay? And character is about integrity of heart. Let's read this together from the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel 16 and verse. Read it together, come on. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things men look at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. So, what builds character? Let's read this together again. But not so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Romans 5, 3 and 4. Okay. And in order to have character, we need to go through sometimes difficult times. You know, many times in business or in the working environment, when you are bosses ask you to do certain things. You know it's wrong. What would you do? What would you do if your boss asked you to steal, cheat, and lie? Do you want to keep your job or you want to follow what your boss asks you to do? Anyone? I have a friend. He was a GM of a company. And this is a true story. He was a GM of a company. And his sales manager came up to him and said, boss, we got this deal, construction. We get it, but but you have to pay so much on the table. And he, being a Christian, he said, no, we won't do it. So he let it go. The sales manager went to see an MD, who is a Masale. So happens this Masale is not so straight. So he says, oh, so that's what he says. You know, the GM says this. And the MD says, okay. He talked to the GM and says, oh, you step aside. Don't worry. Let him report to me on this deal. So he went and bribed. They got a deal. What do you think the GM did? Huh? Somebody says resign. Correct. Because out of Christian conviction, he resigned. And what did he do? He started his own company. Went back in the construction industry. His family member says, you're crazy. You want to go in an industry that's so corrupted. You think you can survive? He did it. From day one, he told the Lord, I want to honor you by showing that it can be done without bribery. He started his business 19 years ago. The last 18 years, except for the first year, every year he made a profit. It's glory to God. And he has got many Muslim employees. Many, many Muslim employees. You know what a Muslim employee told him? He said, boss, you know, I've worked for so many companies. This company, the profit we get is all halal. But he paid a price. And the first year he suffered. Subsequently, yes, he made some profit. There are many jobs he couldn't get in. Every time he tried to get in, he get bounced out. Today, he's one of the biggest in that industry. And most well-known. Okay? Character. And sometimes we need to be willing to take the price of when people ask us to do certain things. So don't be afraid, okay? There is hope. So the question I ask is, are we more concerned about your character or your character, your charisma? So that the difference between the character, a person with character and a person with charisma is, one is out to influence. The other is out to impress. One has got deep qualities, the other surface qualities. One has a transformation in mind, the other has a conforming. You know, he's just want to impress, to conform. Now the word influence you use there is you want to influence the seventh sphere. The word influence has got a spiritual connotation. It comes from an old Latin word. I study English all my life. I go to the UK, study English school. So very intrigued by how much word, the English word borrowed from Latin. It came from the old Latin word influentia. It means to move or to flow out, to flow. If you remember what Jesus says in John chapter 7, he says, if anyone believe in me, as the scripture says, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And this he was talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, it flows out of your belly like rivers of living water, and it is an influence upon people's life. Now, as a Christian, the only difference that you have versus the people out there is that you have the Holy Spirit. You can be smart, the guy can be smarter than you. You can be good at a certain skill, the guy can be as good as you, or even better. But the only difference that you as a believer has is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enables you. He forges your character. He helps you. He gives you illumination. He gives you the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge at the right time, at the right place. And as your Holy Spirit flows out, you can have a great influence. You know, when I first started trying to minister in the workplace, I didn't know what to do. Because, you know, I grew up in a factory, working in a factory. The minute I walked into my office, I'll park Jesus into the parking lot. When I finish my work, I say, hallelujah, I got Jesus back. So one guy was, we were just joking about some of the things we do. Some guy says, they have Jesus Christ like breakfast. They open out the fridge, take out the cereal, they take out Jesus Christ at morning devotion, finish it, put it back in the fridge. So I say, at least you put Jesus in the cold place. I put him in the hot parking lot. So over the years, I begin to say, hey, I got to bring God into the workplace. I got to bring the Holy Spirit. So what I did was, I would say, when I walk into the office of somebody, I would draw a chair next to me and say, the Holy Spirit, God is with me, speaking, you know, giving me anointing. But after a while, I realized it's a bit silly, you know. Holy Spirit is in us. It's inside us. And we must be always conscious, wherever we are, God is inside us. And we can call upon the name of the Lord to help us. Now the third C is, the first C is what? Still remember? Calling, character, and comes competence. Competence is important as well. And we need to have competence. Martin Luther King says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets, even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets as well as all the hosts of heaven and earth were paused to say, here live a great street sweeper who did his job well. You know, this morning at the Gurney Drive, I must say the street was clean. So this guy was sweeping. I was just looking at him. He wasn't sweeping, not a lot of rubbish, just some leaves, you know. So I was walking, I saw some rubbish, I picked it up and threw it into the trash can. You know, he was smiling at me, you know, putting up his thumb. So if each one of us, wouldn't the world be a better place? Wouldn't it be a nice place if everybody does their job well? Wouldn't you contribute to the kingdom of God if each one of us do our work with competence? Okay? I think not only we will... When I quoted this to somebody, somebody says, do you know when we get to heaven, the streets of heaven are wide. And there's gold. It's transparent. If there's dirt, you can see it straight away. You know? So this guy said, if I were a street sweeper, I enjoy sweeping heaven's streets. Be good at what you do. Daniel so distinguished himself. Let's read together. Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. It says the exceptional qualities, and in the King James Version, I think it says excellent, excellent quality, or excellent spirit. And today we say spirit of excellence. In order to have a spirit of excellence in what you do, we need to have an excellent spirit first. The spirit of quality is a doing. The excellent spirit is a being. We must start with a being, you know. And that can only come from our time with God, being with God. Then we will show off in what we do, okay. And Daniel does that. You know, he prays to God 5 times a day. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. He served 5 kings. He outlasted his bosses. How many of you work in a place the last 3 years, 5 jobs? I work with young adults. I know how many jobs they have. They're afraid to tell me how many jobs they have. And the next time I see them, say, I'm leaving my job, Uncle Kahui, I'm going for another job interview. Somehow, there's no stickability in the young adults today, in the job. Whether the workplace is so toxic that they cannot stand extra hour, or We just lost the stickability. Daniel outlasted 4 bosses. How many bosses have you outlasted? I want to challenge you that we need to, if you want to have an influence, we need to be counterculture. We want to do what not the world does, but be transformed counterculture and do what the Bible teaches us to do. And how many of you heard of a Susan Boy? The lady that won. Yeah, now everybody's awake. Susan Boy, the lady that sang in Britain's Got Talent and got runners-up. And they interviewed her. And how she became so good. Not discovered. She says that, you know, she's a spinster, 47 years old. Everybody laughed at her. She's fat, a bit heavy. People laughed at her. And she said, every time when I feel sorrowful, I'll be singing to myself. I will just sing my heart out. And that's how she practiced. Through a time of emotional depression or whatever, a time where she felt isolated, she sang her heart out. That's what she was good. And she sang at the Queen's Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee, right? Serve before kings. If you are good in what you do, you will serve before kings. And don't be afraid. You may not be good in other areas. You're wired in a certain area that you can be good in those areas. So be good in what you do. If you're baking a cake, sweeping the floor, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly before the Lord. And that's what it says. Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord and not man. Let's read together this one. This is interesting. In Colossians, I read from the Message Bible. Let's all read together. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that you get you by. Do your best. Work for hard for your real master. For God, confident when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Hey, when I read the Message version, it's very different. You know, you woke me up. You know, so I hope it woke you up today. If you have been doing shoddy work, wake up. Don't do that. It says, do your best. It didn't say, be the best. You know, we always look at the people who are the best and say, we want to be the best. No. The Bible never says, be the best. It says, do your best. Have you done your best? If you have not done your best, shame on you. Because the Bible exhorts us as believers, don't do shoddy work. Do your best. If you want to have an influence in your workplace, you must be seen as someone doing your best. Anything short of that, you're shortchanging God. You're shortchanging yourself. Okay, brothers and sisters, I say it with a heavy heart because I see it so much in the workplace. Christians lost their passion in what they do. I have even one CEO who's not a believer come and tell me, Kawi, you know, I know you're a Christian, but I have this complaint against you and your church. You see, I've got this employee, 5 o'clock, every day 5 o'clock, he wants to go back. And when I ask him what he wants to do, oh, I got things to do in the church. Oh, I got this practice, I got that practice. Hey, I got a year full. I'm not saying brothers and sisters, church practice, all these are important. It's good. But remember that your workplace witness is equally important. Okay? This person may not come to know the Lord because of that. Now, if you do your best, if you support what he needs to do, and if you need to go to church on a Wednesday for your Bible study or whatever, cell group, you tell the boss, hey, every Wednesday, I got this cell group. I need to be there. Because I'm serving there. Is it possible? You know, Wednesday, if you don't have any meetings,
But other days, I'll help you to do. I'll give my best to help you to do. Hey, you think your boss won't allow you? You think they're so unreasonable? How many of you think your boss will allow? Yeah, I think so too. They are not unreasonable people out there. They are not out to squeeze blood out of stone from you. They are out to make a business successful. And if you commit yourself to the company where you work to do your best, and the boss knows you are doing your best and not shoddy work, I bet you he's afraid, more afraid to lose you than, because it's so hard to get workers these days, right? He's more afraid to lose you than not to let you go on Wednesday for your practice. I'm telling you because I work with all these owners and business people. I know their thinking. There are certain members in their employee staff. Oh, yeah, I cannot afford to lose this guy, man. Actually, he's worth twice the amount of money. I'm not paying him twice the amount of money. You know Jacob, when he works for his uncle, Laban? What happened? His uncle says, name your price. I want you. Because of you, my sheep all prosper. Name your price. How many of you would like that to happen to you? Your boss says to you, name your price, but stay on, work for me. I work with so many clients, and sometimes the client, you know, they're so busy, they have no time to see me, and yet they pay for my services. Sometimes I wonder why they pay me. They're so busy, they have no time to see me, and yet they still pay. Maybe they're afraid that if I go off, the anointing of God leaves the place. I don't know. How do we, I just want to break away. How do we minister in the workplace? Because I struggle, and you know, how do I minister? You know, suddenly, I can't say, do you want to believe in Jesus Christ? You know, it is a fashionable thing, you know, to believe in Jesus Christ. What do you think the guy would think? Hey, this guy a bit cuckoo up here. So, God will bring the opportunity. You just be there when an opportunity arises. Okay? Be available. The first thing we teach our young working adults in the faith of work in the ministry, we say that first, you care for the people around you. Don't say anything about the gospel, please. Just do your best. Be a good employee. Care for the people around you. Care for them. If they need help, help them. Care for them. And if they say that they need something which is so difficult, then you can pray for them. Hey, you don't mind I pray for you? How many business people refuse prayer? I've not kind of come across a single one. Actually, I've come across only one. After so many years, there was this guy, I wanted to pray for him. I said, can I pray for you? He said, no, please. I'm a Buddhist. No, cannot. He says, please, don't pray for me. So he doesn't want me to pray. He says, I don't believe in those things also, so please don't. But he knows I'm a believer. I'm still waiting. One day he'll change his heart. I believe God is working in his heart, you know. But, so, care. Then when opportunity comes, you share. Did I miss out something? Pray first, right? Pray then share. My wife correct me. Pray, care, and then share. So the three buzzwords we teach. Pray first. Pray about who you want to, you know, for who you want. God is already at work, you know. So you need to connect with God. Hey, God, where you want me to work? Pray, share, and care. Care, and then share. One day, there was this guy. He calls me. I saw him on a one-on-one coaching. And I knew him already 2 years. I worked with him already 2 years, helped his company. He's a public listed company. And then one day he says, Kahui, you know, I got very bad news today. And my mom has just been diagnosed with cancer. He shared with me that. So he says, do you think you can pray for me, for my mom? Because he knows I'm a Christian. You know, this guy, for 2 years, I knew him. He never tell me about his past life. He smokes like a chimney. So I never thought that this guy, he says, do you know, Kahui, I used to be the CF president in university. I was married in the church. He had a divorce after the marriage. I have a Christian partner. And this Christian partner tried to cheat me in my business. He was so bitter when he relates those stories. He ran away from the Lord. But that incident, he says that I ask him, why are you telling me all this story right now? You haven't told me before in the past. He says, I think God wants me to come back to church. He wants to come back to the Lord. He says, I want to come back to God. So I prayed for him. I prayed for the mom. The Holy Spirit just touched him that moment when I pray. He just cried buckets, you know. He couldn't stop crying. CEO of a public listed company. You thought he doesn't need God. Everybody needs God. He cried. Today this brother is serving in our church. He's one of our lead musicians. You know. He still runs his company. He brought his wife to the Lord. Wife wasn't a Lord, but he remarried and this wife wasn't a Christian. Brought the wife to the Lord. Brought the two daughters to the Lord. Brought the mom to church. Haven't come to know the Lord yet. Faithfully serving the Lord. And says those days when I do my deals, you know, I used to see who can have connection to influence that deal. Today when I do a deal, I place the deal before God and pray. What a change, a transformation, isn't it? Amazing. And I believe God is doing wonders in his life. Let's move on, otherwise we won't finish. The Lord said to him, how much time do we have? Pass your time already. How much more? 10 minutes? Okay. When the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff. Remember Moses? That staff. And after Exodus 4, after that, it's no longer just an ordinary shepherd's staff. Dirty and rugged. It's no longer that. God changes that staff to the staff of God. Every time you read about that staff, it's the staff of God. So what is in your hand, brothers, sisters? Something ordinary? When the little boy came to Jesus with the two fish and five loaves. Andrew says, what is that among so many? How can we feed? What is that among so many? What is the small thing that you have in your hands that God can use? Jesus took that bread, that fish. He took it. He received it. He gave thanks. And he distributed. 5,000 were fed. If you have that small things in your hand, receive it because God has given it to you. Give thanks for it. Don't despise it. Don't say, I'm no good. I'm just this and that. Hey, give thanks for what God has given you. Use it. Distribute it. And you will see a miracle of God in your life. So I'm encouraging you, brothers, sisters, what is in your hands, do it. Are you a person growing confidence? The difference between a competent and a complacent person is a competent person gives his best, does an excellent job, reflects God's glory in his life. A complacent person gives his time, puts in his time, does an adequate job, and he restrains the full potential. You know, we sometimes don't realize it. As Christians, we insult God. Because God has marvelously created us. He wants us to make use of the full potential we have. Okay. I don't know how I'm going to finish. I'm going to quickly run. The fourth C is commitment. This is a story which I thought is very interesting. I'll tell you this story. We were in Israel. How many of you have been to Israel? Yeah, we were in Israel. Good. And how many of you have been to this restaurant? Maxim restaurant. In Haifa. This was a joint venture between a Jew and an Arab. They were good friends. They were family friends. They got together and started this restaurant. We went and ate at this restaurant. And the owner's son, this is his son, he spoke to us. In the year 2001, A lady walked into that place, a lawyer, Muslim lady, called her meal, finished her meal. It was a busy Sabbath day, Shabbat, they call it, Saturday. Jews and Arabs, they were all in there, intermingling. She sat in the middle and blew herself up. 100 old people were killed. There was a monument in there. So this family got together. They said, how can we even continue to do this? You know? So they want to give it up. The Christian community there got around them and says, no, you must carry on. Carry on doing this. Because it is the hope. It represents the hope for our nation. That the Jews and the Arabs can live, coexist together. So they continue on until today. We were there 2 years ago, and we ate at that restaurant. So, commitment. You know, sometimes, you know, in our nations, we need people with commitment. Are you living a life of commitment, convenience? I want to just mention about this man, Dwight and Ruth Hill. How many of you know Dwight? Amen. How many of you were discipled by him? Amen. Wonderful. Amazing man. He spent 50 years of his life discipling men. He passed away. You know, he passed away early this year. And at the age of 78. He spent a good part of his life in Southeast Asia. In Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. Discipling men. So, we had him for our conference and he spoke to us and ministered to many of us. I asked him that question, Dwight, you know, tell me your typical day, what do you do? So I want to learn from him. He gets up 5 o'clock every day. He spends 1 hour, he swims 20 laps every day at his age, you know, 70 plus, swims 20 laps. How many of you walk 20 laps or even 2 laps? Okay. And he swims 20 laps every day. Spends 1 hour with the Lord and do his scripture memory revision. I say, what's that? Scripture memory. How many of you do scripture memory? Right? I'm beginning to start doing because, you know, as you go older, your mind gets lazy. He revised 50 verses. I say, how many verses have you know in your collection? He said, thousands, a few thousand verses. He's committed to do. And some, he told me that sometimes in one occasion he went to have a meeting 6 o'clock in the morning. He has to get up, take an MRT in Singapore to meet up with somebody. 6 a.m., you know, wake up slowly. And then guess what? The person didn't show up. So I said, what do you do with the guy? Did you dump him? He said, no, of course not. He spent time with him, nurture him today. He said, he's a great leader. He said, God never gave up on me. Don't give up on somebody else. Hey, to do things like that is a commitment. All right? 50 years of his life. Community. Lastly, the fifth C. What are the four C's? Calling. Character. Competence. Commitment. And lastly, community. We need a community. We live in a community, okay? We need one another. There are many verses in the Bible that talks about one another. And you can read for yourself. Okay? Be hospitable to one another. And so on and so forth. God's promises to people. Matthew 18 says, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you. For my Father in heaven, by my Father in heaven, for where two or three comes together in my name, there am I with you. You know, somehow the Bible talks, you know, there's no such thing as individual, you know. Yes, we are individually precious, but He wants us to have communion with someone where two or three are present. He says there's a quorum in heaven. If you want alone, there's no quorum. It's a mystery. I don't understand. Why two or three? Why does it take? Why can't I just pray and agree with myself? I, myself, me. Done. He says two or three. Don't argue with scriptures. That's what it says. Even God himself has got a community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So there is a community. And that's the mystery that we, you know. For those that impact their world, David has Jonathan. Daniel has three friends. Jesus has 12 disciples. Inner circle of three disciples. Paul has Barnabas, Timothy. William Wilberforce has the Clapham sect. Right? You all know about William Wilberforce? John and Charles Wesley has a class or the bands. They have groups. Okay? Who do you have? Who do you have in your life? Okay? Those of you who are married, thank God for your spouse. I thank God for my spouse, my wife. 36. I always tell people, my wife is smarter than me. All the time. If you're not sure, refer to the first statement I said. You know, we went to college together. She did better in college than me. We started work. She became a manager first before me. So, she's smarter than me. Her academic results, Form 5, HSC, O-levels, A-levels, they're all better than mine. So, I won't argue. So, men, don't argue with your wives. They're smarter than you. Do you know, at the Garden of Eden, God gave women to men to work alongside? It's only after the fall, that's when God says, men shall rule over you, and your desire shall be for the men. You increase your pain in childbearing. It's only after the fall. Before the fall, women was working side by side. There was no power struggle between men and women. Today we have women's lib and all this. I don't know what's that. But, you know, this is something which the world has gone upside down. But God wants us to work side by side, and we need to have community. In community is the design of God. God designed it. And there's accountability, there's open sharing. If you're on your own, Satan demands that he wants to be like God. I will be like God. I will sit on high with God. So, it's a deceit of Satan. Instead of accountability, individuality, hidden passions. You know, there are things that we don't talk about. You know, one of the things about children, like the Bible says, for such is the kingdom of God, the children, let them come to me. Children are... You look at children, because I work with business owners, I tell you, some of the training that I psychological training we went through to understand where people are today. You know, when you first started, when you're young, as a child, they say it's child innocence, but it's God's creation. When your child is very creative, you know, by the age of 10, a child lost half of his creativity. By age of 21, they say that you only left with 2% creativity. This is some of the things I help the CEOs to do is write a poem. They look at me and say, you crazy? Ask me to write a poem. I say, yes. Write a poem. You've never written it before, but when you're courting your wife, you wrote a poem, right? Because we are made with the right brain and left brain. We need to be also creative. God is a God of creation. God is a God who creates things. He makes man so that he names the animals. That requires creativity. And children have that when they're young. But as they go through life in school, the teacher says, no, that's the wrong way. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Only this is right. So they lost all their creativity over the time. Right? Hey, that's why homeschooling. And then children, if they don't like something, they'll tell you, I don't like you, I hate you, I dislike you. But today you don't like somebody, you suppress your feeling. No, I cannot say that. Oh, okay, fine, be polite, be politically correct. Okay? We suppress the emotion. So over time, men don't cry. Hey, if men are not supposed to cry, God don't give us tear duct, right? Only women cry. Ah, that's nonsense. Okay? So, we need to rediscover how God has made us. We need to recapture so that we can learn how to relate, open up ourselves and relate. So these are the five C's of calling. And I want to end by telling you a story, and then we will close. And then we maybe have a time of ministry if we need to. Several years ago, one of the CEOs that I was working with called me up. Early in the morning, he called me up. He said, "Kahui, they're going to fire me." And this guy is the MD of a multinational. He runs three countries. 100 million US, big company. He said, "Kahui, they're going to fire me." So I said, "Wow, can I meet up with you?" So I said, "Can we have meet up somewhere in a restaurant, in a hotel?" So I met up with him. You know, we have no mood to eat lunch. So he called himself a soup. And I call myself, you know, a drink. So we just don't want to be distracted over lunch. But it was a big crowd in there. So we started talking and all that. He told me why they're going to fire him and all that. So I said, "Well, this is going to be tough times ahead of you." I says to him, "Do you want Jesus to walk alongside you while you go through this?" I asked him that question. "Do you want Jesus to walk alongside you?" He told me yes. Now you may say that it's only in a situation like people like that comes to know God. Hey, I don't understand why it happens, why God does it that way. But in the midst of a big crowd, in that restaurant, in the hotel, he says he wants to commit his life to the Lord. I say, "Let's say the sinner's prayer. I'll lead you in the prayer." So he said that, "My, seeing this brother coming to know the Lord is a wonderful thing." But he didn't stop there, because, hey, he's going to be sacked. So I said, "I know they'll, in the multinational, they'll ask you to go very fast." I said, "As soon as you don't have an office to go, you come to my office. And then every Monday, we'll do Bible study together." I invited him to we do Bible study. Every time when he talks about his boss, there was anger in his face. There was so much hatred. So I said, "You need to release your boss in forgiveness. Otherwise, you cannot go on with your life." He said, "No, I cannot forgive him. I worked so hard for him. I did everything for him. Why does he have to do this to me?" He couldn't forgive his boss. So one fine day, after a couple of months, we revisited the subject. I said, "You need to will yourself to forgive. I know you don't want to forgive him. But the Bible says if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you." So I said, "Will yourself to forgive." So he says, "Okay, I will follow what you tell me to do." He willed himself to forgive. Things begin to change for him. He found himself another job. He went on with his life. Then one fine day, he was going to migrate to Australia. Before he left, he came up to see me. He said, "Kahui, I want to tell you that I'm going off to Australia now with my family. You know, one of the best things that you did for me during the time where we did Bible study, is it when you asked me to forgive my boss?" He cried. Some of you may be hurt by many things in the workplace. Many things has caused you to harden your hearts and say that, "I can't be a believer in the workplace. I cannot show Christian love." But God says, "Forgive them. Pray for your enemies." Like our brother this morning prayed for the people in Iraq, the ISIS people. Pray for them. Okay? So let's all rise. as we come before the Lord. I'll get the musicians come and just... Let's have a word of prayer before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you this afternoon now that you have spoken. Your word has gone forth. And I ask the Lord you will bear much fruit in the hearts of my brothers and my sisters. The Lord is beginning to take root, Lord, right now. I pray the Lord you would be convict them to realize the Lord, you love each one of them. And you desire that they live out the destiny that you have called them, Lord. They desire that they become an influence for you in whichever place that you have called them, you have placed them. Because it's not by accident, the Lord, you have placed them there by design. It is by your divine wisdom that you have prepared in advance, that you have destined and ordained this to happen. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, wherever they are, for such a time as this, you have placed them in a position, whatever it is, Lord, that they may use it, even it may be 2 loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is there amongst the crowd in the workplace? What is there among the difficulties I'm facing? Father, I pray that you cause them to use it for you and bring glory to your name in the workplace for you. So if God has spoken to you, brothers and sisters, and if there's someone you need to forgive, you just come forward to be ministered to. If there are certain things in your workplace that need to be sorted out, come forward. The Lord wants us to come and settle it today. Let today be a breakthrough for you in your workplace. Let today be a turning point for many of you that you want to make a difference in where you are. So come forward, even as the musician play.
To your hand.
Of your hands, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing.
Sing that one more time.
Just come forward if you need prayers, if you want to be ministered to. And there are things that need to be sorted out in the workplace. The Lord wants to have an encounter with you, so sort those things out. Yes, just come before Him and just spend time with Him.
Jesus, I belong, yes, to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing.
Jesus,
Jesus, I believe.
Yeah.
Release His word, words that some of us needed to hear. There's no more powerful witness than at our workplace. So today I want to invite you to just dedicate your work unto the Lord, that at your workplace you will be His witness, that you will be a competent worker, that you will be committed in your work, that you will have a spirit of excellence. And by doing your best at your work, your bosses, your colleagues, the people you work with will just taste God, will just come to know this God. And so if you have been slack in your work, or you just want to say to the Lord, I lay down my life before you and you. I just offer up my work, Lord. I recognize that you have called me to do this. Help me to fulfill that calling for your glory. I just want to ask you to come and make this commitment. Come to the front. Make this commitment to the Lord. I'm going to ask our brother Kahui to pray for you, and that the Lord will seal this commitment that you're making today, and that you will see a difference as you serve God in your workplace. Not working for your boss, but ultimately working for God. So you come as the Spirit leads you.
sing a new song to God. Let the new songs break the old cycles over your lives. Let the new songs break old cycles over your lives. Dedicate our lives back to you. We come home, we come home to you.
That you've spoken to us. This challenge, O Lord, to remember our call. Well, sometimes we think that only those who have called to be pastors and missionaries are the ones who are serving you. But Lord, the truth is, you've called us into different vocations, into different careers, because you have chosen to place us there, that we might be a blessing to our fellow workers, that we might be a witness to them, that through our lives, in obedience to your Holy Spirit, being led by your Holy Spirit under the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you're able to change and touch lives. You're able to bring about a change and transformation of our workplaces. You're able to bring about a change and transformation of our city. So help us to believe that, O God. Help us to rise, O Lord, as we hear you call out to us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to rededicate, O Lord, our work to you, O God, that we are not working, we are serving you, O Lord. Help us to remember that, O God, to always do our best as unto you, O Lord. To be sensitive, O Lord, to the leading of your Spirit, O God. O Lord, to know that whatever we are doing, O Lord, is not just to earn a salary, to make a living, O God, but to make a difference, O Lord, as you work in us and through us, O Lord. So, Father, let there be a sense, O Lord, of calling upon our lives, O Lord, in whatever work that we are doing, O God, that, Lord, that we will be faithful, O God, faithful to proclaim you, O Lord, faithful to show your love, O God, faithful, O Lord, to work hard and to work faithfully, O Lord. Faithful, O Lord, to seek to prosper, O Lord, the company that we are working with, O Lord, so that all glory will go to you, Lord. I thank you for those who have responded, O Lord. I pray, O God, that today, O Lord, you will just help them, O Lord, to rise up, O Lord. Rise up, O Lord, that they will soar, O God, that they will achieve, O Lord, a higher level, O God, of walking with you, O Lord. And a higher level, O Lord, of fruitfulness, O Lord, as they obey you, as they follow you. Lord, I know you're speaking to more of us, O Lord, and I pray, O God, that you will just stir our hearts, continue to stir our hearts, O Lord. That, Lord, we will come to you, Lord. That we will be led, O Lord, to respond to you in the way you want us to, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord, for the work, O Lord, that you have done in our midst. I thank you for my brother Kahui, O Lord, for the work that you're doing, O Lord, through him. I pray that you will continue to fill him with your Holy Spirit. Continue to use him, O Lord, as he makes himself available to you. Use him, O Lord, to to impact young lives, oh Lord. Use him, oh Lord, to impact the business community, oh Lord, so that we will see a transformation in our nation, oh God, because this is what we need, oh Lord, the transformation of lives, oh Lord, the transformation of our cities and our nation, oh God. So, Lord, I pray that you will just prosper the work of his hands, oh Lord. And I pray for all of us, oh God, that, Lord, you will help us, oh Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to always live with a sense of calling, oh Lord. Even as we leave this place, oh Lord, that, Lord, we will be aware, oh Lord, that we have been called to be your witnesses, oh Lord. So help us to be faithful witnesses of yours, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that as we leave, Lord, that you will dismiss us now with your blessings, oh Lord. Continue to make your face shine upon us, oh Lord. Continue, oh Lord, to release your grace upon us, oh Lord. Continue, O Lord, to lead us by your Spirit, O Lord, and help us, O Lord, to walk obediently to your word, O Lord. Help us to love you, and help us to love the people that you have called us to. So, Lord, dismiss us now with your blessings, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you. Please stay back for a time of fellowship, and come back here and pray for the Moonlight Sonata concert. God bless.